Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I've been telling everyone I got to preach on this text, this very same text, 3 weeks ago. And so if you were here 3 weeks ago, you might be thinking, what more is there to say? But as you can see, there's a lot to say about the wise men. But this time, last time I talked about Bethlehem, this time I'm talking about the wise men. And I've been thinking about the wise men this week and how I'm very different from them in a lot of ways. I'm not a man, I'm not from the East, or an outsider to the faith. I'm not one to think I have very extravagant gifts to give. But there is one thing that I resonate quite clearly with, and that is I have an earnest desire to follow Jesus. And I think all of you do too, or you wouldn't be here on this freezing cold day. I know, yeah. You're here, though. Thank you. When I graduated from college almost a quarter of a century ago, I had one thing that I was really clear about, and that was that I wanted to follow the gospel more deeply. I even wrote a mission statement about it, and so I jumped on a train, and I headed out to Seattle, Washington, to live and work with a bunch of people I'd never met before through the Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And I was placed at a place called L'Arche, and I've told you about this before, but my very first day there, I probably haven't ever articulated, I was welcomed with a big welcome sign, chocolates, flowers, and a beautiful meal, and a candle that they had made in their workshop. And after the dinner is what really struck me, that I was living the dream, heaven on earth. My friend Jack Hader, who was 85 years old, who had had a birth trauma, lit that candle, stuck his head in his hands, and he started praying. He said, I pray for Debbie, pray for Jennifer, I pray for Earl, I pray for Bustaby, and then he passed it on to Bustaby, which was really our friend Carol, who had Down syndrome. And she prayed and handed it on to my next friend with Down syndrome named David, and he prayed, and then he handed it on to Marjorie, who had cerebral palsy, and she prayed. Each one of them had prayers, and they handed it on to a coworker, another coworker, and back to me. And I handed that candle back to Jack, and we all together prayed the Lord's Prayer. And for someone who had this real earnest desire to follow Jesus more deeply, I truly felt I had hit the jackpot. What could be better than praying and eating a beautiful meal with a bunch of people far from home? I felt like Jesus was present. But then a few weeks later, I was sent to a retreat with my coworkers out in the Cascade Mountains, and I decided to go on a run with one of my coworkers right away. And immediately into that run, I tripped on a root in the mountains, fell, and skinned my knee. More than skinned my knee, I gashed my knee, and it kind of bled quite a lot. But I was too proud to say anything was wrong, so I ran that run and came back to the cabin. And I was a mess, and I didn't want to tell anybody I was a mess. I had to figure out how to take care of this. But let me tell you, that heaven and earth feeling had quickly left. I felt like I wanted to go home and go home soon. But then there was an aha moment. I realized that following Jesus is not always comfortable. Sometimes it brings joy, like it did that very first day. But sometimes it's kind of painful. Sometimes there's risk. Sometimes there's downright fear, but Jesus always promises to go with you and before you. So today we see the Gospel of Matthew's version of the Christmas story. In the Gospel of Luke, we see manger scenes and angels and all the insider things that Jewish prophetic texts have told us about. But here, the Gospel of Matthew, we learn about the wise men. And that's significant because the wise men were not the insider group. They were not the Jewish people brought up in the Jewish faith. They were outsiders from the East. And what's beautiful about this is God wanted a way to announce Jesus to all people. And so because these were wise men, magi, or probably most technically astrologers, God knew that a star would lead these people to the place of Jesus' birth. So they go, the wise men go, not knowing where they would end up, and they ask Herod, as you know, and Herod gets a little bit nervous, but then they go and they arrive to the place of Jesus' birth, and they are overwhelmed with joy. Following Jesus does bring extraordinary joy, and they exemplify that so beautifully. But fear is present in this text as well, especially when we look at that other major character, King Herod. The birth of Jesus brings Herod fear, and the birth of a baby can bring immense fear. I remember when my first babies were born, when my first and second babies were born, the first night home was terrifying. You didn't know if they were going to make it through the night breathing on their own. I was fearful that they wouldn't make it. Herod was fearful that he wouldn't make it. When Herod hears about the birth of this king, he gets nervous. He tries to get the Magi to tell him where the king will be, where the baby will be born. And they wisely go home by another way. And when Herod learns about this, he decides to have all kids under the age of 2 killed within the Bethlehem region. Herod was threatened by a baby, not fearful of what would happen to the baby, but fearful of what would happen to him. And truth be told, Herod was threatened by just about any human being that came close to him. Anyone who threatened him, he put to death. History says he put good friends to death, his wife to death, even a couple or three of his sons he put to death. He was a fearful, fearful man. And the gospel that Pastor Dixon read said the whole town of Jerusalem was fearful with him, which makes sense. Because when a leader is anxious or scared, that anxiety just trickles down. Fear doesn't always kill people so blatantly like Herod did, but fear kills the goodness in life or the freedom with which God hopes for us to live. Fear can look like a deer in headlights, which is my kind of go-to when I'm fearful, but it can also take the form of addiction or hatred or broken relationships, or bullying, or inferiority complexes, or manipulation, or downright excessive control. Fear is part of everyone's story, but so is joy, hopefully. And the thing is, fear and joy can be found in the very same place, the very same person, at the very same time. Martin Luther describes this tension with a Latin phrase that you've probably heard, simul justus et peccator. It means we are 100% saint and 100% sinner at the very same time, and we won't be free of that tension until the day we die. But we can be aware of it, and being aware of it helps us live with it, I think. It brings us back to worship like you're doing today, just like the wise men did at the very first finding of Jesus. For we know that in worship, Jesus meets us. And when we worship, hopefully Jesus brings us joy and reminds us that whatever we're going through is not the end of the story, but only the beginning of a story filled with promise and hope and eternal life. Coming to church can be just another check in your routine for the week. It can be resuming life as usual after you leave this place. But the story of the wise men shows us that when we meet Jesus, we often go home by another way. God sends us out in unpredictable ways to discover joys in ways we could never dream up for ourselves. We know this quite well. We've lived kind of an unpredictable last couple of years. And so we at Mount Olivet have been sending you out each week with what we call our prayer of good courage. As I kept reading about the Magi this week, I thought, you know, this prayer of good courage could really be called the prayer of the Magi, because we are all called to go and journey to places in which we do not know the ending, but only trust that God is leading us. And so to close my sermon today, I'm simply going to ask us to pray that prayer. It's in your bulletin, probably on the last page. If you're new here, if you've been here, you probably know it by heart by now. But let's together pray this prayer as we go forth to be God's people in the world. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.